I'm Lauren.
And I'm Cheryl.
And on this episode of Lit Chicks Read, we're chatting with Abby Jimenez, author of Yours Truly.
Are you ready?
Hello.
Hi, Abby. I'm so excited to talk to you. I have to tell you, I remember when you're... vagina cake went So I've literally followed you since then, as well as your Cupcake Wars episode. But I remember cracking up at the cake. So I will forever associate you with the vagina cake. But I think many do at this point.
That was the greatest week of my entire life. That was so much fun.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? I know we're here to chat the book, but like, it's just so funny. I just need to know like how that even all came about.
So I'm a Cupcake Wars winner. I own a bakery called Nadia Cakes that I founded out of my home kitchen back in 2007, three locations. And now that my team has been in place for a really long time, I'm able to be more administrative and do things like write books. And so the staff, I manage all the social media. So the staff sent me this picture of this pink geode cake that they had made because they were going to do a geode cake workshop and the cake was available for sale, because they didn't need it for pictures anymore. And they said, can you post this to sell it on Instagram and Facebook? And I was like, sure. So I posted it and I did not see the vagina. I just kind of put that out there. We are a family business. you know, people bring their five-year-olds in for cupcakes to Nadia Cakes. So I did not see that. I wouldn't have posted it if I had. And then the internet started commenting that they thought it looked like glittery lady bits. And I almost deleted it. I almost did. And then I was like, no, you know what? I do actually have time for this. So I started like bantering back and forth with people in the comments as the admin of Nadia Cakes. And the comments went super viral. Just, oh my gosh, like all over the world. They're writing articles about it in Germany. It was like everywhere. as like, you know, a wonderful example of social media done right and, you know, business social media specifically. And it was so much fun. It was so much fun. So yeah, that went really viral. I was on BuzzFeed and Scary Mommy wrote an article about it. And it, I mean, literally, I can't even list all the places that it was.
It was everywhere.
And then yeah. I was like, you know, because I had just gotten my book deal and I was like, I'm actually an author. And if you thought this was funny, wait until you read my rom-coms. Imagine me with a whole year to write something funny. And I ended up getting a ton of followers from that. And, you know, funny story, I actually didn't have a public social media until I got an agent. I was very private. You know, you could not follow Abby Jimenez. You could only follow Naughty Cakes. And my agent said, you really do need to have your own social media. And now I've got like 500,000 followers on TikTok. And you know what I mean? I'm like, yeah. I'm all over the place. But that was really where I got like my first big surge of people following me. And I developed my brand, I guess.
That's like so fortuitous that an accidental vagina cake.
Yeah,
I know. And I've gone viral so many times after that for just so many different things. Like my husband ate X-Lax.
Yes, I love this story.
Yeah. And that was really viral. People probably saw that and didn't even realize that was me. But my husband accidentally ate like 12 doses of X-Lax instead of the two. So he when he opened the package, you know, the X-Lax is perforated.
Yeah.
And there's 12, I think, strips in a bar and it said eat 1 to 2 bars. And when he opened the chocolate, it was upside down. So he didn't see the perforation. So he ate an entire bar and got the worst stomach upset in, you know, imaginable. And I died laughing. In my defense, I think it's because I knew that people use X-Lax for jokes. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not, no one's going to die eating X-Lax. Right. So I knew he wasn't going to die. But I literally could not stop laughing. And I had to call poison control and the guy had like this really thick Minnesota accent. And he was like, oh yeah, you're going to need some Desitin. I could not, I couldn't keep it together. My husband's totally fine. He thought it was hilarious as well. He let me post the story and that ended up going super viral too. And I got even more followers out of that. Yeah. So I have a lot of things that I'm viral for that have nothing to do with books. And I don't even think people connect them all the time. Like they even realize that it's the same person.
But that's what I personally love following your Instagram and TikTok because you have me laughing. I just showed my husband.
So funny.
I just showed my husband your POVs of all your dogs.
I know.
And they just crack me up like all the time. Tess, I just love her. Her face, everything about her. She's just, it just, I literally sat there. I was like, you have to just watch. I mean, who doesn't love dogs? We have dogs. We love our dogs. People. I feel like if you are a dog, if a dog owner, dog lover, you love anything that has to do with dogs. So when Tess spread poop all over your house, that is like so something that would happen with my dog, Thor. I have a Rottweiler. I'm surprised he hasn't done that yet. But like, I have so many funny stories from him and then my previous Rottweiler, Ammo, who like ate $200 bills once and like all these things. So we just were cracking up because that is the life of a dog owner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And her face. Oh my gosh. So I feel like you sharing those just makes you that much more authentic. And like, I love that because your books also have so much humor in them as well. Mm-hmm. Like I was just telling my husband, I was after I had read Part of Your World so long ago, I forgot about Lieutenant Dan until it came up in Yours Truly. And I said that I was like, one of her characters has a dog named Lieutenant Dan, you know, a three-legged dog. Like, I just love those connections. I think everyone who reads your books does. And that's why they continue to follow you as well on social media, because you're funny. Who doesn't love that? Who doesn't need a laugh? You
know what I mean? And I'm not even trying. Like, I'm just, I'm not bragging. I'm going to say I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to create content.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just having a good time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just literally, if it did not bring me joy, I would not do it.
Right.
I have so much fun making the videos of my dogs. I love sharing my dogs because they're adorable and cute and hilarious. And like, same thing with the books. Like, I do it because it's fun. And same thing with the cupcakes. That started off as my hobby and I ended up making a business out of it. But all of these things I do because they are legitimately enjoyable for me. And I never feel like, oh, I've got to figure out content to produce for today. I just do whatever I post it if I have it.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad everybody enjoys it.
Oh yeah.
And we can see that, right? Like it's authentic. We can tell you're not creating, like, who's going to intentionally feed their husband. Well, I don't know. Maybe somebody. It depends. But like these like hilarious, authentic situations that people get into, you know, it's just perfect. And you're to share it that way. You're not forced. You're not creating this situation, but it is creating content for you naturally.
Yeah.
Like the Desitin thing with the diaper rash is in this book, isn't it? Like when Jacob tells a story about having to give Desitin
to
an adult who had diarrhea. Yeah. So it's like these little pieces of your life that like do come into your stories.
If you follow me on social media, you will definitely recognize things. Like in Part of Your World, Hunter was based loosely on Tess, my husband's hunting dog Tess. And Tess brought a live squirrel in my house, just like Hunter does in the book.
Wow.
That's where I got that. I know exactly what that's like. I pull a lot from my real life. And, you know, honestly, real life is the funniest. It's the funniest material you can come up with.
It's true. Yes.
It's true.
And I mean, again, I think it speaks volume. Like, you really do have to enjoy what you do, right? Because if not, then that's going to obviously reflect on with what you're doing. So I think it's a great example. You know, you're having fun, you enjoy all of it. I do have to ask, so Nadia Cakes, you ship. I just saw, right? Because I was like, I need some Nadia Cakes. However, I have a question because I am gluten-free, but I'm also dairy-free. I know you have gluten-free. Will there ever be maybe possibly a gluten and dairy-free cupcake?
We have that.
You do.
We have a whole line of gluten-free, dairy-free. Actually, we call them allergy-free cupcakes.
Oh, okay.
They contain no wheat, no nuts. They have no gluten. And they don't contain eggs or any sort of dairy. And they're good. They're
amazing. Can I order those online?
So what you can do is there's not a package for it on Goldbelly. You can order any package and then call the shop, the Woodbury location directly, because that's where they fill the orders, and say, I actually need all gluten-free, dairy-free cupcakes. And they can list you what flavors they have. And we don't charge any additional we only charge additional for keto cupcakes, because they're really expensive to make, but we never charge more for gluten-free, dairy-free, none of that stuff. So it's all interchangeable. So you just place the order. call the shop directly and say, this is what I need. And they'll put whatever you want in your package.
Amazing.
I wish you could ship them to me. I'm in Canada. So
I wish we could ship to Canada.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. I don't have a good cupcake place near me, but next time I'm somewhere in the States for a while, maybe I'll prearrange a delivery. Yeah,
you should.
Yeah, I'm so happy to hear that because I wanted to order and I'm like, I'm not seeing it. Like I saw the gluten-free. So that's why I was like, I'm going to ask her and I'm going to place the order. Now we were chatting, you do cupcakes for each book.
Mm-hmm.
So can I get a Yours Truly cupcake that's gluten and dairy free?
I would call and putting you on the spot. A chef. I'm just trying to think because, okay, it's got marshmallow fluff in it. And I think marshmallow fluff is gluten and dairy free, isn't it?
I believe so. I think so.
Yeah. So it's a buttercream. I'm feeling like they might be able to do that.
I'll call.
Possibly. Okay. I would talk to a chef just because I don't have all the ingredients listed in front of me. And I don't want to tell you yes. And then, you know, I'm telling you wrong, but call and talk to a chef. They can tell you, you know, what they can put together and let me know when you're going to order and I will call ahead and I'll say, hey, she's going to call.
Okay.
So, cool treatment. So that they're ready for you.
What is the flavor? The whole signature flavor for the Yours Truly cupcake.
So the cupcake is available the whole month of April. And again, if anybody wants to order this to be shipped nationwide, you just place an order for any other flavor on the website and then call Woodbury directly and say, I want the Yours Truly cupcake. Mm-hmm. It's a red velvet cake filled with marshmallow fluff topped with a marshmallow vanilla bean buttercream. And red velvet cupcakes are in the book. Jacob's a big old marshmallow and he burns vanilla candles in his house. So that's where we came up with the flavor.
As soon as you started listing the flavors off, I was like, I remember that. I remember that.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and it's topped with a really cute little fondant envelope with hearts on it. It's adorable. It matches the book perfectly. Like it's like the perfect little photo.
Yes. Oh, awesome. Yes. Oh, I love that. Thank you. Okay. Speaking, I had to ask for my
speaking out. Of matching the book, I did my nails to match your book.
Oh, cute.
And you're wearing
I love a theme.
I see your themed fleece there, Cheryl.
Oh, yeah, it does match.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. I have to tell you. So, yes, I have read. When I first got into your books, it was The Friend Zone, the Happy Ever After playlist, and Life's Too Short. And I literally just binged. I love every single one, but Jacob, I think, might be my favorite man in every book. I love him like so deeply. Would you say the same, Cheryl?
I was going to say that's a really, really stiff competition because
it is hard.
The men in these books.
I know. They're all amazing.
But yes, I'm going to agree because he's so relatable. Mm. The struggles that he goes through. Lauren and I talk very openly about struggles with anxiety. And the way you described it was so well done. Like I almost like to the point where I was like, ooh, because I would read something and be like, that would give me, I was like, yep, yes. I know that feeling.
I'm like,
oh yeah, okay. I know that feeling.
Yeah.
But then the way he works through it, his methods of self-care, centering techniques, all of that stuff. It was so real. I loved that. And he is just, I mean, you can't get more leading man than like someone who is willing to donate a part of his body to keep, I mean, in this case, her brother alive, but he would have done it for anybody. I mean, that just, he's one of a kind.
And also, I feel like to see, again, I struggle with anxiety. Thank God for Lexapro because I no longer feel like Jacob has felt. But to have a male character, I feel like usually we see female characters struggling more, or it's more spoken about with female characters and mental illness. But it was refreshing to see it in a male character too, because again, I could relate to so much, like the spiraling. But again, I feel like hearing it or reading it from a man's perspective, it just hits differently because I think we forget that men also can struggle with anxiety. Do you know what I'm saying? Usually it's a female character. So I don't know if you could just share anything about that. Again, I just love him. I love him so much. He's my favorite one.
He is my favorite too. And that's so hard to say because they are my children.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I love him so much. He's just so vulnerable and sweet and relatable, super relatable. So I do get anxiety, not to the degree that Jacob does, but anxiety runs heavily in my family. I deeply understand anxiety. And, you know, at this point, when I write a book, I do a lot of due diligence in making sure that I get things right. I have beta readers, I have sensitivity readers, and I have mental health beta readers to make sure that I'm depicting things with accuracy, that I'm not being harmful in my depiction of any of these things. And I had three mental health beta readers for this book, and they're, you know, psychologists. And all three came back like, no notes, because it was just,
oh, great.
I nailed it. I understand what it's like to be Jacob because I go down those same spirals. And it's funny because I've been married to my husband for 20 years and we have this fabulous marriage, right? The book is literally dedicated to my husband. And he is a super extrovert. He doesn't deal with anxiety the way I do. He doesn't understand the whole, like, why I'd freak out about the parking situation. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And even though, like, we've got this wonderful marriage and great communication, he still, to an extent, doesn't understand my anxiety. And one of the things that I heard back from so many people when they read this book was either they, A, deeply related to Jacob and felt seen because they lived the same kind of life, or they don't have anxiety, but they deeply recognized someone they love in Jacob and had an aha moment. Like, oh, that's what it's like in their head. That's why they need to know, you know, where to park or what's going to be on the menu or what the venue looks like or who's going to be there. You know what I mean? And I think everybody sort of walked away from the book the better for reading it, which is so amazing. And I was a little afraid that people that have anxiety were going to be triggered by the anxiety. And it honestly has been the opposite. It's felt cathartic, I think, to a lot of people to feel less alone. And then, yeah, for a male character to have that kind of anxiety, you know, I think, especially in romance, you know, we want to see our heroes strong. You know what I mean? We want to see them, you know, we don't like to see their weaknesses, I think, a lot. And to have a character that's this vulnerable, I don't think is usual. And, you know, I think men can benefit from recognizing their mental health challenges, treating their mental health challenges. I don't think that it's talked about enough. I think mental health care, especially with men, is stigmatized. And I really wanted to normalize it in this book, you know, normalize a man taking medication for a mental health issue, normalize going to therapy, normalize recognizing that he's got these challenges and using skills to overcome them. And it was so fun to write him. And I feel like Jacob being out in the world is going to do so much good for so many people. One of the things that I've been doing ever since Part of Your World is I no longer use mental health stigmatizing words in my books. So I don't use words like crazy or insane, unless for some reason the character that's saying that word, that'd be very on brand for that character. And then that character is being reprimanded for using that word.
Yeah. I appreciate that so much. I can relate. Again, I have a lot of self-care methods like Jacob, which is why, again, I related in that aspect. But when I first read this the first time through, when you got to the part where he did need to know, you know, exactly where to park and all that, I remember having to do that just because going somewhere new, even now, sometimes if I don't know the place, like I can sometimes get a little like, I don't know where I'm going, like, you know, and I manage that better now, but I was like, wow, I didn't realize that, you know, I just connected with him in that sense, being like, it's not just me that would Google, you know, and see where these things are. But also to your point about vulnerability, I have had this conversation with my husband many times because my husband is the same. I'm the one with anxiety. My husband didn't really understand it, always super supportive and wonderful in that aspect. But I have said to him before, I feel a strong man is one that can be vulnerable and admit when they do need help. They do need to seek treatment for mental health. I think, yes, I agree with you. We don't discuss that enough, especially with men, especially my husband's a veteran. I feel like especially with veterans. And I just think it is so important to have a character like Jacob for, like you said, to make men especially, I know, I just feel like men need to read this book because to make them feel less alone, that it's, they're not, you know, abnormal, you know, it's men can also feel like this too. And I think there is strength in that vulnerability piece and admitting that you do need to seek treatment or go to therapy or do these self-care methods because they help. And why not? Yeah. We shouldn't have to feel like crap, right? That's always what I say. We shouldn't have to feel like crap.
We should commend people like that takes more strength to be dealing with something like that. So even though your initial reaction or people's initial reaction might be to say that Jacob is weaker than the typical romance character who doesn't face that, I actually think it makes it stronger.
Me too.
It's like that, you know, I always say to my kids, you know, that if you're not afraid of stuff, you can't be brave. Because if you're just not afraid of anything, that's not really bravery, right? It's like having a challenge and working through the challenge. That's what makes the character, right? And not only do you give us, I love that we have not only one, but two male characters in this book with mental health struggles, right? We have the situational depression that Benny is facing or has been in since his kidney started to fail. And we see him working through that and recovering as well. So we have, you know, one with anxiety, one with, it sounds like pretty severe depression when we first meet him in the beginning of the book. So you gave us two.
Yeah.
Yeah. And role models.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Cheryl, speaking of, did you want to touch base? Because I know Benny's renal disease touches you a little bit.
Yeah. When I first heard, I think I sent you a DM on Instagram, Abby, because I was like, as soon as I found out what the book was going to be about, I was like, I cannot wait to read this book because organ failure and donation is a thing that isn't talked about much in books. I think I've read it once before, and that was also very recently. And there's someone very, very close to me who has chronic kidney disease, and at some point we will be looking at donation. So the idea, number one, that you showed what it's like for the person, what it's like for the people around them, what it's like to have that desperate need, like everyone around him would have given him a kidney if they could have it, but doesn't always work that way. So there's this real need in our real life world for living donors. And I felt like you almost wrote like a brochure for that. Like when Jacob's at the bar and he's getting Xander, he's like, okay, give me the rundown. He's like, well, these are your risks. This is what you can expect afterwards. Your life expectancy will be the same as someone who hasn't donated. I was like, dang, that's a really good commercial right there. Hopefully you get some people to sign up to become organ donors because of this. And I just think it's amazing to see it depicted and hopefully get more people to understand and participate in that kind of program as well. I think a lot of people give blood, but I think less people sign up for living organ donation.
Yeah, I really wanted to demystify it, you know, because I don't know. I feel like there's so much misconception around chronic kidney disease just in general. Like when I found out that, so this book, we haven't talked about this yet, but this book is very personal for me. Because in 2020, I got a completely surprise diagnosis of an autoimmune disease and kidney disease. And it was pretty severe. Fortunately, I am in remission right now. But back in 2020, I couldn't even talk about it without crying. It was awful. And I was sort of faced with this potential reality where I might need a kidney one day. And, you know, I just like when I remember going into the doctor's office for the first time and thinking like, but kidney disease doesn't happen to 39-year-old women. You know what I mean? It doesn't happen to young people. It happens to old people. It's something that old people go through. And it's not. It's not. Your kidneys don't like to tell you when they're sick. Mm-hmm. You'll be in stage 3 kidney disease before you even realize anything's wrong, before your body shows any sort of symptoms. And fortunately for me, I started to notice that my hair was falling out, just like getting a little bit thin, which was my, which was because the filters in my kidneys were damaged from this autoimmune disease attacking my body. And I slipped in, you know, in like stage 1 and got it figured out and taken care of before I had, you know, scarring on my kidneys. But, you know, it can happen to anyone. It can happen to anyone. And you can find yourself in this situation. And, you know, donating a kidney is not, I don't want to say it's not a big deal, but it's not, you can live your whole life with one kidney. You will have the same life expectancy, you know, and you can literally save somebody's life doing this. Literally. And I honestly had no idea about any of it until I went through it. So I'm really glad that this book is going to educate people. And like I say in my author's notes, if even one person, you know, ends up donating a kidney because they read this book, then sharing my own personal, very vulnerable story is worth it to me.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for doing it.
I know. There's so many things. Thank you for that. And also even, you know, yes, obviously a kidney is bigger than blood, but I feel like even blood donation, my husband is so great with that. He donates blood like every, however often he's, I don't even know like the, however often you can do it, but I feel like he donates blood all the time. And then they started sending like letters to like who he's helped. Or like, oh, you're whatever. I can't remember what he just recently got back in the mail, but I was like, that's so nice. You know, so he like encouraged me to share more. And, you know, like I need to go do it. But like, yes, I think that is, I hope people, if they have not read the, I mean, I think if they're listening to this podcast, they've read the book. But yes, I hope that connects with someone and they feel called to do that, because it really, yeah, saving a life is amazing.
Yeah. And speaking of that, blood donation, that's a topic in your earlier books, because we have Sloan, who's lost her to-be husband, her fiance, and, you know, she gets her happily ever after. But I love the tradition that you talk about that they have for that every day, that one day every year that they remember him by donating blood.
I talk about donation, I think, in every single one of my books. So in the friend zone, there's, I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't read it, but there is... Yeah. You know, donation in that book. There's talk of donation and happy ever after playlist. And Life's Too Short, Vanessa says donate everything. So, and I can't remember if I talk about it in part of your, I feel like I do, because it's very important to me.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I think like anxiety, I think it should be normalized talking about it. And your husband is so generous for doing that. I cannot stand needles, which is part of what made what happened to me in 2020 so traumatizing, because I literally cannot. I hate needle pokes, but my sister is a firefighter and she donates blood and plasma and all that stuff all the time. And I think it's so brave and generous and, you know, it's thank him. That's amazing.
Yeah, it really, like I said, he does it as often as he can. Then they call him, hey, can you, and he's like, sure. And he just go, I'm like, you're awesome. I tell him that all the time. Like, it's really amazing because he just like, you don't even have to ask. He'll just go, you know? So yeah, it's pretty cool. So I love though that, right. So you incorporate these topics that are more serious, but still in a book that makes you laugh. And I feel like there's such an impact in that. I truly laugh out loud at every single book I've read, but I know this one and Life's Too Short in particular stick out to me, because I think those were the two that I connected with, maybe on a personal level or whatever it might have been. But I love, again, that you get into these deeper topics in a way that I don't want to say is enjoyable, but you get what I'm saying. Like it's funny and it's a wonderful romantic comedy, but talking about the important stuff too.
Yeah, there's some heavy, heavy stuff in here.
Yeah.
In all of your books, there's heavy, heavy topics, you know, like grief and loss and, you know, mental health, et cetera, et cetera. But it's handled so beautifully, for one thing. It's just woven into the story. It's only a piece of what those characters are. It doesn't define those characters. And there's so much humor. Like I'm, you know, all the serious issues in this book, but, you know, on one page, I'm laughing out loud because Jacob stops to pick up a dead raccoon for his taxidermy or something, you know, like his mom is talking about her favorite vibrators and his dad's like, how about that grapeseed oil? Like I'm laughing out loud, but also getting to work through with the characters, these really heavy topics. And I think you are an author that does that so very well.
Yeah. I write the way that I would experience that situation. You know what I mean? Like, I think you can have really horrible things going on and still find humor in it or around it, you know, and I tend to sort of live through life, you know, with the lens of sarcasm. So it's easy for me to do. I know it seems like a difficult thing to write into a book with such heavy topics, but for me, it's easy to do.
I love that.
Well, we're all glad for that.
I know. I know. I honestly have loved, and it was funny because when I first read this, I got the ARC a while ago. So I just reread it in preparation for it now coming out so that we can podcast about it. I have so many highlights on my Kindle. I mean, and I text Cheryl, I was like, like sobbing. Like, I just forgot how much I loved this book. You know, like it just touched me so emotionally, but I just genuinely loved their relationship and also like the writing. I think writing sometimes is easier than communicating, you know, face to face. So I loved their bond through these sweet little notes. And I also, I worked as a nurse. I stopped once I had my third. I stayed home and switched over to what I'm doing now. But I feel like there were so many relatable things. Like, just remember going to the hospital and having a day where like you felt like everyone was dying. And mm-hmm. just, you know, like going to your grief closet and just like, you know, yeah. So, but I just loved, I loved Brianna that she just automatically knew what Jacob needed as far as communication and anxiety and how, and I loved that one. I don't want to butcher it, but there's that one scene where she like just yelled at, who was it that mm-hmm. she yelled at?
Was it at the bachelorette party? And,
Oh yeah. Yeah.
She yells at yes. Amy's friend. She's yes, like, he's Amy's not the friend. Asshole. You're the asshole.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. I loved that. Oh, that just also reminded me. I love the grandpa in this book.
Oh my gosh. The cast of characters in this family. Like, can I please join this family? I think that every gathering must be so fun.
Do you get inspiration from people you know and incorporate them into characters?
Sometimes. So actually, Jessica, the cranky OBGYN, I had an OBGYN who was like that. I'll never forget. She was like, I like men. I'm married to men, but don't trust them. She's like, they're dogs. And I was like, wouldn't that be so funny if, you know, I wrote this cranky OBG, this man-hating, bitter OBGYN into this book. But yeah, I do. I pull from my real life quite a bit. And no one character is 100%.
Yeah.
You know, somebody that I know, but definitely I pull from real life.
So funny. I love grandpa.
And so good. Yeah.
Giving him as Lauren. At the end.
Yeah. Yeah. So funny. And they're like, all the girls do it.
Yeah.
It's like, he smokes a pack a week. He's like, two packs.
Yeah. Yeah. Just picture it. Yeah.
Oh my God. Lauren and I, one of the things that we bonded over early was that we were both nurses. I was an OB nurse. So some of the stories in your books, like, I love how well you write the, like, you can really tell that you have a good advisory committee. Yeah. Because if you haven't done that profession yourself, anything in the medical field, it's easy to get it wrong. And I've never caught a mistake you've made.
Really?
That. Wow. I don't think so. No, not like a medical fact or whatever. I feel like you do your research really well. And if you don't, then I'm extra impressed.
Oh no, I have beta readers for, I mean, if you look in my, you know, acknowledgements, yeah. I have beta readers mm-hmm. for every single thing. For example, in the delivery scene in Part of Your World, I had a high risk OBGYN that like advised me on that whole scene, read the whole thing, you know, told me what to write. I had domestic violence advocates read that book to make sure that, you know, again, what I was writing was accurate and not harmful and helpful, that I was using the right language. I hate it when I read a book and I'm thrown out of the book by something that is easily researched, yes. You know, like just get it right. And one trick I use is I do keep things kind of vague. I try not to dig down too deeply into any one topic that I am not a specialist in, because I don't want to get a minute little detail wrong that's going to throw someone out. But for this book, I had a nephrologist that I asked for every scene that had to do with any of the nephrology stuff. I had a nephrologist that I interviewed for it. I had nurses that read it. I had, you know, mental health professionals. There was a whole team of people. Because you as the author, you have to do that due diligence. Your publisher is not going to do that for you.
Yeah. I have actually texted Lauren, not with your books, but with other authors that we love. And I'm like, I was loving this book. And then like something that I was like, you couldn't have just like Google mapped that. Yeah. Like you suddenly I'm like, that's impossible. Yeah. You know, and it exactly what you said. It throws you out. It throws you out of the book.
Right? Yeah.
So I mean, it's fiction, obviously, but if you're including like real stuff, then yeah, due diligence is very appreciated.
Yeah. Well, you guys will love my next one.
I was just gonna say, tell us what's coming.
It's called Just for the Summer. And everybody keeps asking for a Benny and Jane book. And I didn't want to write, it's not Benny and Jane. Didn't want to write Benny because I purposely wrote him a little immature. He was a little immature in this book, and I needed him to be that way for the purpose of this story, because I need Brianna to very much feel like she had to take care of him. But I feel like he and Jane were wrapped up really well at the end of this. And I mean, they're getting married next, basically. So the hero for Just for the Summer, which is my sixth book, is Justin. And we meet him for a split second. He's one of Benny's friends.
Yeah.
The book has an extremely interesting meet cute. They meet through an Am I the A-hole Reddit thread. And Emma, the main character, is a travel nurse. So we go back to Royum. We stay in that whole universe. And I won't spoil anything, but this book has probably the most amount of Easter eggs of any of my books. It's the book that you want to start at the very beginning and read the friend zone, read them all the way straight through, so that when you read this one, you catch everything, because it really wraps up like everything. It's so cool.
I love that. I'm so excited. I did that reading yours truly. I went back and read everything. And then so I could just continue through. And, you know, it's kind of appropriate, actually. We're recording this on Good Friday. So let's talk about Easter eggs. when you initially started, so I know you actually wrote Happy Ever After Playlist first, right? And then went back and added The Friend Zone as a prequel. So those are obviously very closely linked because it's, you know, they're besties. But the other Easter eggs that you've, from the Abbeyverse that you've woven throughout all the books, like, did you plan to do that from the start? Or do you, you know, when you throw a character in, like Jessica's husband or something, you know, do you plan that you're going to use him again in a later book? Or when you're writing the later book, are you like, hey, let me go back and see who I can pop in here?
It depends. Sometimes I know that I'm planting a character to write about him later. Like when I wrote Adrian into the Happy Ever After playlist, I knew that he was going to be my hero in Life's Too Short. So I purposely set him there. Sometimes when I'm writing, I'll be like, oh, that'd be a really cool way to connect those two books. And I'll go back. Like, you know, here's an example when that happened. So in Yours Truly, Brianna goes to get some, you know, some fun stationery because she's writing to Jacob. And I was like, oh, well, what if she goes to Paperweight Cards? Because that's where Vanessa worked in Life's Too Short. We know that that's a fictional Minnesota-based company. She would go to Paperweight Cards. So she goes there to get her stationery. That was one thing that I didn't think about until I was like actually writing Yours Truly. And then this is my favorite Easter egg in Yours Truly. But did anybody catch that Jacob was the ER physician that wrote up the handbrake for Jason in the Happy Ever After playlist?
Yes, I did. And I don't know if I would have if I hadn't just gone through, because it, like, depending how long ago you read that, you might not remember. But because I had just finished reading it just before, I was like, hey, the musician who needed a break, we know who that is.
Yeah, that was Jacob.
Loved it.
I love it so much, you know, and you get to connect those things. I'm trying to think, there's so many that it's hard for me to.
So many.
Some of them. I like to mention Lola Simone or her music in every book. The specialist that Josh puts in the folder that he gives Kristen at the end of The Friend Zone was Mason Montgomery, relative of Alexis Montgomery, also a doctor.
I missed that one.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, when I'm looking for a last name, I think like, how can I connect this family of prestigious doctors? You know what I mean? It's there's very little mistakes in my book. So if you hear a, you know, a character mentioned again or a name mentioned, it's probably on purpose.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
When is the sixth one coming out?
Same schedule. So we have, we've got me on a yearly schedule. I release a book every spring. We should have advanced copies of Just for the Summer, probably August or September again, which is when we usually try and get them out. Just for the Summer is a book about trauma. It is a book about a lot of trauma. And of course it's funny and very sad and you will learn a lot. And it takes place in Minnesota again. So I had a really great time writing it and I just turned in the final edit. So I know exactly, you know, it is done.
Yay.
And I've seen the cover and the cover is beautiful and it's very different from the other covers that we've done for me.
Oh.
So I can't wait for everybody to see that too.
Yeah, there's definitely the books that are out so far. You have, they look like they belong together.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I think that my second, I mean, it's so hard. I really loved all these books, but I loved this book. Lauren and I, another thing is that we're both big Disney fans. So all the Disney references and Easter eggs that are in here, like, you know, Alexis runs off and loses her shoe and she's, you know, the redhead who has the controlling father. And you talk about some of them in the acknowledgements, but all those little pulls make my Disney heart very happy. And of course, the title, of course.
Yeah.
I was deep in my kidney disease journey when I was writing that book. And I still look back and think, how did I do it? Because I was depressed. Mm. I was like not in a good place. And I wanted to write something that was fun. You know what I mean? Like I wanted to incorporate these little magical elements because I wanted to like, I felt like I needed to like exercise my brain and do something a little bit different than what I'd done before and something that was going to, you know, make me feel a little challenged and something was going to be fun because that was such a horrible time. I can't even believe, like when I look back and I can't believe that I managed to produce what is, you know, up until yours truly my highest rated best-selling book of all.
And you said that was 2020, which is when the world shut down.
Yes.
So, you know, yeah, that's, that sounded like a very hard year for you, but this is an amazing
product of it.
Yes, that's what I'm looking for. I mean, so amazing. I need to actually, this is the arc. I need to actually get the, so it matches all the pretty spines, you know, like I need the whole, but yes, I'm going to have to read. So before the sixth one, then that's a good thing to note because yes, I need to go back and reread all of them. They're just such enjoyable reads though. But I know I just had someone say to me, cause I shared I shared that yours truly was coming out and someone was like, oh, do I need to read the others? And I'm like, technically no, but like you should. Yeah. So just because it's even more enjoyable of a read because you get all those little Easter eggs and you get to like reconnect in the whole Abbeyverse. So it's just so fun. I can't wait for the next one. So woohoo, right?
Yeah. Let's reconvene this little situation here 1 year from now.
I know. I would love to
talk about the next one.
Absolutely love that. Cheryl, did you have any other questions you wanted?
No, I think this has been a fun chat. I'm so happy you were able to be here with us today.
I know. I am too. Oh, and I have to show you this, I think might be my favorite thing on earth. So I'm holding up the card. Can you share what, just for our listeners who maybe don't know what this is? I'm holding up a, when you sent me yours truly, this was the note that came with it. But I laughed out loud so hard when I opened it. My husband was like, what is that? So can you just share a little bit?
Yeah. So you're holding up a card of my best friend and I dressed for 1980s prom. We like to do these awkward photo shoots. And this particular photo shoot, we went and we got horrible, very ugly dresses and did very pronounced 1980s makeup and convinced our husbands to do this photo shoot with us by telling them that the other one was very excited to do it. And they had mullets on and it was really hilarious. My husband wore like a blue tuxedo with a bow tie and had this really horrible mullet and the big, you know, bottle glasses. And then at the end of the photo shoot, we had a second costume change for our husbands that they did not know about, where we dressed them like the characters from Step Brothers and made them pose for the cover of the movie photo, which I highly recommend just looking at my social media so you can see this because it was so funny. And we made them shave their beards and their mustaches at the photo shoot so that they would fit the image of this Step Brothers picture that we wanted them to take. Oh my gosh, it's classic. I have them hanging all over my house.
That's one of my favorite movies. So when I saw that, oh my gosh, this is just great though. I also have, I need to put it on my Kindle. I have Stuntman Mike over here and you're part of your world. The little stickers you send. Can people buy these somewhere?
So the only way to get those is to join my reader group on Facebook and wait until we do a fundraiser. So those things actually came from my admin team. Mm-hmm. They design all that stuff and they sell them to raise money for whatever cause they're passionate about at that time. Usually it's something that has to do with the book. I think last year they raised money for women's shelters, women experiencing domestic violence. And I'm not sure what they'll do this year, but that's when we sell them.
And then can you just say what the reader group on, I know I'm a part of it, Cheryl. I'm not sure if you're going to too. Yeah.
Yep.
Can you just share what it's called so that our listeners can join if they want to be a part of it? It is a great group.
It is the Abby Jimenez Reader Group on Facebook. There's 12,000
being in there. And you're very active in there too.
I am. I love the group. The group is so nice to me. I want them to have all of the things. Like, I post so many exclusive things in that group that I just don't post anywhere else. You know, for example, the stickers. I don't post that anywhere else. You have to be in the group to get those types of things. And there's a lot of perks that the group gets. Like my meet and greet for my Minneapolis launch, there was only going to be 150 tickets for the meet and greet, and the group got them first and they sold them out.
I believe
it. You know, I love treating that group so special because they treat me special.
You also have like a traveling ARC.
Yes.
Which is really cool.
That was in Forbes. They picked that story up. So what we do is when I get my advanced reader copies, we send 7 of them out into the universe as a traveling advanced reader copy program. It's a shared book program where one reader gets it and then they have a week with the book. They get to read it months and months and months early. And then they will post a contest in the group to select the next reader, and the book continues traveling on. Every book gets an average of between 15 to 30 readers. Okay. So a lot of people get to read the book early that way. We have one that goes to Canada and 6 that stay in the United States. One of the books is specifically for Minnesota because I have so many readers in Minnesota, my home state. And it's a really fun program, and it really connects the group members. Everybody has, they've turned it into sort of like this traveling gift box thing where when you're done reading, you go and you buy some little goodies that are inspired from things that happen in the book and you send it on. And the program has really evolved over the last couple of years. Some people don't want to do the gift thing. They don't want to receive gifts and they don't want to go get them. So we've got 2 no frills traveling ARCs where if you don't, you know, want to, if you just want the book, then you can only enter contests for those 2. So it's been really fun. We also have a program in the group called the Angel Program, where if somebody can't afford to purchase one of my books in any format, no matter where they are in the world, somebody in the group will volunteer to buy that book for them. And I love it so much. And we have more angels than we have recipients. There's so many people that have signed up to gift somebody one of these things. You know, I know that libraries are available, but you know, maybe you want a signed copy and you're going through something right now and you can't afford to get a signed copy. You know, an angel will get you a signed copy. Or if you're out of the country and you can't get a signed copy because you're out of the country and it's just too expensive for the shipping, you can't afford it, an angel will do that for you. And it's so generous and it's so sweet and I love it.
Oh, I need to sign up for that.
I love that community thing. Yeah.
I know. It really is amazing. The book community is just incredible. It's so incredible. What were you going to say, Cheryl?
I was going to say that you and I have another book club.
We do.
Based around the Outlander series. And we have it's not traveling books, but we have a traveling symbol for our group that goes around. And every time you get it and you use it as a way to show the other group members where you live. So you'll go around to different places and do videos. It has its own Instagram account. So all the other members of the group can see where you are. And then you package a few things from you to the next person to receive it. So it's sort of a similar kind of idea. And it really it's fun and it builds the community. Like there's so many little connections, you know,
sounds ours like isn't a book. Similar. It's a,
love it.
It's a corn cob spray painted gold. So it's phallic looking. And for that reason,
it's very phallic. Yeah. Jacob's mom would probably love it.
She would.
Looks like a dildo. Oh, now, speaking of phallic things and dildos, I have to say I loved the coquetry board.
Oh my gosh.
That Jacob's mom has. Because I think you actually shared it on your social media, the link to coquetry. He's in Canada, the guy that makes those boards. He has a breast one now too. I absolutely love one. I've been dying to get one of my own.
Yeah, I wonder if I still have the link up because he gave me a discount code to use for that. But they donate a portion of their charcuterie board sales to, I think, testicular cancer research.
Amazing.
And yes, my best friend gave me that board for, I don't know, it was like my birthday or whatever. But I, when I opened that thing up, it was huge. I was like,
yeah, there's this a really
gonna hold a lot of meat.
I want one. Love but I have it. Little kids, so I feel like I would need to hide it. So you know what I mean? Like, I
they know what a penis looks like.
Yes, but I feel like you know it would have to be. It only comes out for like girls' nights. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I can't have my 5-year-old, and he would because he's the third kid, so he's like extra crazy. He'd be like, "That's a penis." You know what I mean? So I need to find a spot.
And it is.
That. Yeah, it is, and he's not wrong. It is. Abby, are you doing a book tour for yours truly? And if so, where are you going?
Yes, I have so many book tour stops. I'm actually like, what have I done? So I'm heading to, so I've got my big launch in Minneapolis. And then I'm heading to St. Louis, which is sold out. Then New York, I'm with Tessa Bailey in New York. Then I go to Chicago. Then I go to Seattle. Then I come back and I'm doing a Southern Minnesota book tour where I'm heading to several different libraries all over Southern Minnesota. I'm also going to Book Bonanza, Steamy Lit Con. I'm going to be at Bookmarks Festival in North Carolina in September. And I'm doing Fallon's Book Club here in Minnesota. Oh gosh, I know I'm missing some. I've got so many stops. Just basically, if you
want to
see me, look at, you know, the links in my bio and go and check out my book tour stops because I have a ton of stops.
Cheryl,
and a lot of them are free.
Cheryl will actually be at one of those. Possibly.
Oh. Yeah, I'll be at Steamy Lit Con.
Oh, nice. So I'm looking there. So forward to it. It's gonna
it looks fun. Very fun. Uh-huh. I'm trying to make it work out. I have to see if I...
And it's, you know, a block from Disney, Lauren. You have to come.
I know. I'm
Disney Day.
I'm trying to make it work out. It's just the time my August QVC line launches that month. So it's like the timing of things. I gotta figure it out. I'm hoping... I should just buy the ticket and
my fingers
are
crossed.
Donate it if that's probably remind me to do that. I'll buy the ticket and then if I can for some reason, I'll donate it to someone.
I will definitely remind you.
When is the New York date? Is that sold out?
No, it's April 14th.
Oh, that's I'm not even here. That's probably why I couldn't. Because I remember seeing Tessa as well. Yeah, that's I'm not even here.
I am coming back to New York in May. But I don't know if they have me doing any appearances.
Okay.
I'm coming back for a super top secret thing that I can't talk about yet, but I'll DM you.
Let me know. I need to talk to my, so I live in Connecticut and there is a bookstore here called RJ Julia that frequently has authors come. So Christina Lauren, they were here last year but I need to go and be like, I want you to get this, you know what I mean? Because it brings in quite a crowd. I feel like it's rare that we get, you know, it's just a treat. I feel like it's rare people come over to Connecticut because New York's right there, you know? So New York is obviously the bigger stop. But you'll have to let me know. And if you're doing an appearance, I'll have to see if I can.
What is the name of the bookstore? I'm going to message my publicist because when I do that super top secret thing in May, she was saying, well, you're already over here and we don't really have any East Coast stops besides New York. Maybe I could send you somewhere nearby. So what's the name of the bookstore?
RJ Julia. Perfect. And it's located in Madison, Connecticut. It's the most adorable bookstore. They frequently do, you know, author visits, like Jan Brett, the child author, I cannot talk today. I'm sorry. I was out very late last night. I went to see Kenny Chesney last night and I'm like, I got in way too late.
They write books for children.
That's
what you're saying.
Anyway, she was just there. They do a lot of fun events, but I'm like, I need some of my rom-com people to come, you know? So, but yes, they do signings frequently and the Christina Lauren had a great turnout. So I know without a doubt people would come. I would rally the troops because, you know, I've got several people here in Connecticut who listen to our podcast and who love all the books we love. So,
well, awesome. I'm texting her now. Let her know.
Please do. And then
Maybe we can, you know, go have dinner after.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. 100%.
Oh, now I have FOMO.
I know. Come on, Cheryl. Take a flight. But no, we would love to have you here. Oh, well, I'm so excited. Thank you for joining. I've got to tell you, you're truly one of my faves. I know Cheryl can say the same, just because you always have me laughing. Your books just like, they just hit a spot for me that's unlike anyone else. You know, like I love so many authors, but just the way you write and the topics you touch base on, like they just hold a special place in my heart. So I just have to thank you for that. It's been such a blessing to read your books. I cannot wait for the next one. Naturally, I'm going to like immediately want that one too. But we just love you and all that you do. And I'm absolutely calling and going to get some gluten and dairy free cupcakes. I'm so psyched that I can do that now, because I will literally
we'll have to put the links.
Yeah, I will pay what for a good gluten and dairy free cupcake, because they are hard to come by. You know, like good ones. So I'm like, I don't care. I'll absolutely spend an astronomical amount of cupcakes if it means they come to my door and I can eat them. Because there's, you know, it's like hard when you have food allergies. You can't just go anywhere and get a cupcake. So I'm going to absolutely call. So thank you.
Yeah, I'll let them know that you're going to call.
Thank you. Woohoo. Tell everyone where we know where to follow you, but tell everyone where they can follow you. We said the name of your Facebook group already, but maybe just reiterate that and then where they can follow you on social media.
So my Facebook group is, I just changed the name, so I always have to go look at it.
Oh.
It's the Abby Jimenez Reader Group. Mm-hmm. You can follow me on TikTok. I'm very active on TikTok. Instagram is another great place to follow me, or just follow me on Facebook. I try and share the same content across all the platforms, so nobody misses out, because I know not everybody's on all of the things. But definitely, if you're on Facebook, join the group, because the group gets all the good stuff.
Yes. But also, it's an extra special treat to see your videos, and your dogs are just adorable. The POVs. You guys got to go and watch the POVs, because I was dying the other day.
We'll link a bunch of
we will. We'll stuff link in them in the show notes. Thank you for coming on here with us. I hope you had fun too.
I did. This was so fun. Thank you guys.
Of course. And hopefully.
Thank you for being here.
Yes. When your sixth one comes out, we can have you on again. But hopefully we all see you soon, whether it's at Steamy Lit Con or whenever, if hopefully maybe something can happen at near me over here on the East Coast. So
yeah, we'll see if those dates line up, because, oh, she says, I already emailed them. Same page. That's what she said.
Woo, tell her I said thank you. Amazing. Oh, that makes me so excited. All right. Awesome. Well, thank you, Abby. And we can't wait to see what else you have coming up. We'll
hopefully
see you soon. Bye.